Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
The difference between businesses that grow and businesses that stall often comes down to one thing: taking action before you really feel ready. I'm excited to introduce you today to our guest. His name is Joe Fields. Some people know him as Mickey. Some people know him as JM Fields, but we're just grateful that he's here. He has a new book out called The Bucket List Coach, so I can't wait to hear more. So welcome to the show, Joe. It's lovely to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Joe, we're so excited to hear your story. How did you become the bucket list coach? What's your background? Where have you been? What have you done? We want to learn more.
For 30 years, I was a controller for small businesses. So I've always worked around entrepreneurs and things like that, and that's exciting. I spent the last 10 years working with business owners in a coaching capacity. But the reason I got into the coaching is I happened to be on my bucket list trip. Most people want to go explore the Amazon or climb the pyramids or be at the Oscars or play a piano. I wanted to go to the University of Alabama and see a football game. It was a 47-year lifelong dream, and I went there, and it not only was everything I had thought of, it exceeded my expectations. However, when I was sitting at the Birmingham airport at Sunday afternoon, I started getting a little depressed because I always felt I should have been a football coach and a history teacher. And instead, I became an accountant and a controller. And when I returned to New Jersey, the beautiful Jersey Shore, I thought more and more about that. And then I happened to come across a Tony Robbins commercial. And I'd always been a fan of Tony's. And Tony always had this phrase, "If you would allow me to be your coach." Now, he was saying that in the 80s when we never heard of business coaches or anything else. And it clicked. I can still do what I love, which is coaching. I've coached sports for my brother, myself, my sons, other people's children. So I've always been on an athletic field, and I played sports too. And I could combine my passion and my profession as a controller. So what I did 10 years ago is educate myself. And I took a ton of classes. I took the Robbins Madonna's class for 6 months. I actually took a class called Compete to Create. And that was given by Dr. Michael Gervais and the head coach of then the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll. And I learned some more. And one of the coaches that worked with me was an Olympian. And so I was able to tie all these different things together. And during that time, I kept thinking about what an amazing trip I had. And I started thinking about writing a book, and I got in the middle of writing about a trip. And I said, wait a minute, let me tie all this together. Let me tie the trip, what I learned at Alabama from all the amazing people I meet, the coaches. I've met three of the athletic directors. I met a lot of people there with my business acumen. So the bucket list coach came out of that.
Wow. I don't really have a bucket list. You're inspiring me to want to get off this call today and work on my bucket list. What do I want to do before I kick
it? It's well worth it. It's well worth it. Believe me.
I feel like I had one a long time ago and I did a lot of those things, but I need to revisit that because again, sometimes you need that inspiration. It's so easy to get focused on our work and our day to day rather than thinking about what would really inspire me to hit the financial goals that I have. What do I really want to go and do or see, or who do I want to help, or what can I do bigger than just my business? So that's exciting. So with the book, one of the things you talk about is start fast, maybe start before you're ready. That's a core belief you have. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I like the phrase. I actually picked it up when I first opened my company going in coaching. The name of my company is Mavmic Solutions. And on the back of my business cards, I stole a phrase from a rant in the locker room from Nick Saban. And the rant was, I want you to start fast, play hard, and finish strong. And I started thinking about that, and I started saying, you know what? Not only works on the athletic field, but it's really important in business. No one ever started a business by starting slow. If they did, they're out of business. So the start fast is, let me give you a perfect example on a real life scenario. As a controller in 2020, like the entire globe, I faced COVID. What COVID did to businesses is it said that unless you're a necessary, essential service, you're closed down. At the time, I was the controller of an HVAC company. That's considered an essential service because you have to keep the heat on. As we all know, it was the middle of March, freezing and all that. Everybody was freaking out because you could only be open a little bit. How were you going to pay your people? How were you going to survive? And the federal government came up with the Paycheck Protection Plan. We all referred to it as the PPP, if you remember that far back. One of the things that the owner of this company did, he got on the phone because that company at the time was 20 years, now 30 years in existence, with our banker. And our banker said, look, whatever you do, get on this quick.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
So everything is new. No one's ever had this problem before. So the software came out, and the very next morning I had logged in and I was working. And what happened was many people had delayed timing with getting money. We were right up front. We had the money. We had the opportunity to continue to open our doors even at a limited basis. So had we not taken that quick first step, financing would have been extremely difficult. Unfortunately, as we had spoken off camera about softwares and things, we actually had to change from an older QuickBooks to a newer QuickBooks. So here we were with the payroll protection and COVID and new software and all this stuff going on. So getting out of the way and getting after it was very important.
I love that. That's so true. And another thing you made me think of is some businesses, like, they want to move forward, they want to start fast, but they're scared and they're not sure what the next step is. And sometimes they kind of get in that round robin of, should I do this? Should I do that? If I do that, it's going to happen here. So it's like the analysis paralysis, I think you talk about in your book. So let's talk a little bit about that.
There's a great passage that I heard years and years ago was that perfection is not attainable, but on the pursuit of perfection, you can find excellence. But you can't find either unless you take action. I think small business owners, those successful ones that I've worked with, and some of them are amazing. My very first job was with a gentleman who started in a carriage house in insurance, and it became a gigantic insurance agency. My second controller job was with a company that started in his garage. And when he sold the company, it was a $100 million company. And he just believed they both had the same similar characteristic. They were great listeners and they never let ego overwhelm intellect. So they listened to other people and they were humble enough to know that I know my industry, I know insurance, or I know wholesale distribution, but I don't know accounting. I don't know banking. I don't know marketing. And those are the ones that win. And the others that are too ego driven, they get in their own way. They trip over their own thoughts.
Oh my gosh, this conversation could go on for hours now because Joe, first of all, the first part is listening. Jeannie and I, with every one of our programs and the virtual assistants that we help our clients with, at every phase, it's better now than it was because of feedback we got from our clients. We listened to that feedback. We heard their problems. And I'll never forget because we were teaching our clients how to hire the virtual assistants. We gave them the SOPs and the job post, and we gave them everything they needed to be successful with hiring someone. And I just remember one of our clients saying, I just wish you could do this for us or for me. And I remember looking at Jeannie and like, I said, we could do that. And so it's like, we've hired hundreds of virtual assistants. It would be a lot easier for us to do this. And so that's when we completely changed our business model from teaching people how to hire and providing them all the tools to actually hiring and training and providing SOPs for them. And again, it was because we listened. There's no ego attached. We're here to serve our client. If our client is saying this would really help me, then our question is, how can we do that? The other thing that I love that you talk about is not having ego, right? Jeannie and I joke, she's very tech savvy. I'm not, I don't hide it. Like, I swear at my computer daily, whether I should or not, I do. I threaten to throw it in the lake. But being able to understand that if you are really good at something, that's your unique superpower, you're better off to spend as much time doing that as possible. And then hire other people, outsource the marketing person, outsource the bookkeeping, outsource the software support, rather than spending hours and hours learning those things. And it's so fascinating because I think, especially women, I don't know if it's because our worth is tied up in the fact that we can do everything ourselves, but people often say, I need to know how to do it before I can delegate it. And I was like, really? Did you become a mechanic before you took your car in to get it fixed? Is that a true statement? What about your HVAC when it went out? Did you go become a licensed HVAC person so you could fix it? So we have this really weird belief around business that I need to be able to do everything in my business. And it's maybe if it's your baby, but if it's a business that you want to grow and serve as many people as possible, you need to understand that there are other people out there, their unique abilities can contribute so much to what you do. So I'm so glad that was one of the things you talked about. And yeah, I love that because again, it's not just big businesses, it's little businesses who can benefit from this. And they're the ones who need to hear it the most.
I think that's because they start off when they're all by themselves. And it takes them a long time to figure out that no man is an island. They think that all I have to do is just hire another person, but I'm the brains of the operation. Or I'm just going to hire two more people. But I know what I know. I'm the one that built this. I'm the one that sat at the kitchen table at 2 o'clock in the morning and worried about making the bank payment and all those. And I think it's hard for them. My heart goes out to them. But like I said, the ones that I've seen the most successful, they have egos. Don't kid yourself. Entrepreneurship, if you're looking, the last client I had, he used to have a habit of saying, the owner, all I want to do is be able to sleep at night and relax. And I said, we get a job, not a business. Because I really appreciated that. And it's true, though, because the responsibilities, yet at the same token, one of my son's friends, her and her partner, they started this amazing coffee business. And I happened to go and listen to her speak. And it's a company called Rook. And I hope somebody on the Jersey Shore hears this because they are amazing young people and they built this company. And when I asked Holly, who is one of the partners, I said, I know it's tough. You'd probably rather be back in the city working than having, no, I can put it aside. But if you talk to other owners, they can't. The gentleman that is now on Fisher Island, that sold the business for $100 million, he was without a doubt the best listener I've ever met. And one of my dear best friends, I actually hired her there as my credit manager, and we've remained friends for 30 years. I actually talk about her in my book a little bit. She's extremely smart, extremely tough, great businesswoman who just recently retired. And we both say, Frank was by far the best listener we've ever met. And I learned a valuable lesson about that in my interview with him. He was telling me what he was looking for in a controller. And I was like 34 at the time. I'd only been a controller for 2 years, probably could only spell the word, didn't really know what it was. And at the end, he goes, so what do you think? And I made the mistake of saying, oh, I think I know what you need. He said, really? Then why don't you tell me? Now he flipped that listening skill back on me. I must have got enough of them right because he hired me. But from that point on, that and the phrase I know, I was once told by a guy teaching me how to weld. He was down in the hole fixing a mistake I made. And I used to say, I know, when he was explaining it to me, I know. And he finally stood up and he said, "If why am I in the hole fixing your mistake?" So you'll rarely hear me say, I know, but you'll hear me say, I understand.
That's so awesome. When you were talking about if you want to relax and sleep through the night, get a job. I say that often when people say, I just want to hire a virtual assistant who'll tell me what to do. I'm like, who's going to tell you what to do? Get a job, right? They'll tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That you, as a CEO, you don't get to hire someone to tell you what to do. You can hire smart people on your team and can drive the train in certain areas and really advise you in the best ways to go. But oh my gosh, at the end of the day, it's your decision.
Yeah, you sign the checks, you take the heat.
That's right. Yes. So you also talk about starting fast, playing hard, and finishing strong. And I know you've got an acronym, which just happens to fall in line with one of your favorite things in the world. And that's play hard. And that's the BAMA formula. Show that to us again.
The BAMA formula. Yes. The people who know me know I love Alabama. And I actually was watching something on TV and I was doing work at the same time. And I'm also a member of the International Coaching Federation. And so I do a lot of research with coaching and things like that. In fact, they bring it in as one of the things that I work with. I think it makes me a little unique because I not only can work with the numbers, but I can work with the people. And part of that became the three things that I look for when I go into a business. I want to make sure I understand the owner's purpose. I want to focus on performance, and both of those will yield profits. And by looking at things like that and devising ways to questions to ask, I started asking about what was important. And I started thinking, if you don't believe, and that's the B in BAMA, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in your team, you can't go very far. And then I said, okay, I believe in myself. I believe in my team. Now, what do I have to do? As you ladies mentioned before, action. We can't do anything without action. So there's the A. And I say, you got to take action, but it can't. And this I learned from Dr. Michael Gervais in my coaching class. It's not just action, but it's action aligned with your purpose. That's where business owners get crazy. And it's the activity without achievement situation where I'm sure you've seen it in businesses. People are running around crazy, but a lot of the things they do really don't align with what they need to accomplish. And then obviously you can take action and you can believe in yourself, but you need to master your skills. And the only way to do that is to keep working on it. One of the things, because I love sports so much, you listen to Tom Brady or you listen to Ray Dalio or Warren Buffett, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whatever, they're all really hard workers. They continue to always prepare and they've mastered their skills. So that's that. And then finally, it's great that you believe in your purpose. You align your actions. You've mastered your skills. What are the results? And once you get the results, you have to be aware of the results. And one of the biggest things in business that I've found, you have to be accountable for the results. And accountability starts with A. It doesn't start with B as in blame. And that's key. People are going to make mistakes in organizations. If you don't do anything, you can't make a mistake. And if you do things, you're going to. And I believe strongly that you show me the owners that turn around and say, hey, listen, you made a mistake. Let's keep trying. Okay, you own what you did. I'll be accountable for the results. And that's how I came up with the acronym BAMA. That, and it fit right into my passion for Alabama.
That's awesome. And I think accountability is so huge. I think that was one of the hardest things when I owned my mortgage company is it's one thing to have people that just do tasks for you. It's another thing to empower people to own a certain role and then make decisions and letting them know that we all, like you said, we all make mistakes. If a mistake is made, let's analyze it. What could we have done differently? What could we have done better? Did we not have enough information before we made this decision, right? Let's do a postmortem on it, so to speak, so that next time we do a better job making decisions. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's always the business owners who has to take the full accountability. But I think when your team takes accountability, with the people who work for you, say, this is what happened. This is what I did. This is how it turned out. But I've thought about it. I should have asked more questions, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. Then they're learning. And that means that they won't make that mistake again. Well, they make other mistakes probably, just like we will. But it's so empowering when people take on accountability and when they buy into your purpose, right? When you're building a team, if people buy into your purpose and they're the type of people who want to make decisions and want to take accountability, your business can be unstoppable.
No, I agree. I agree. When you talk about purpose, one of the things that the client that I just finished up with, they're a party planning company. And they rent tents, they rent tables, chairs, beautiful linens, all those types of things. But that's what they do. That's not their purpose. Their purpose is to create a magical event for the customer. And that's where you have to sometimes pull the purpose part out from the owner. Oh yeah, we rent tables. We rent tables. Is that really what you're doing? They can do that anywhere. What sets them apart? What sets Chick-fil-A apart? Everybody makes chicken sandwiches. Maybe it's the fact that the constant attention that they get, the detail and things like that. I wrote it in my book, as a matter of fact, the story about John Kennedy visiting NASA. He's visiting NASA and he's talking to everybody and he comes across a gentleman with a broom who's a janitor. And he asked the gentleman, what do you do? And he said, Mr. President, I work here putting a man on the moon. Of course he does janitorial services, but he understands the purpose. And if you can get your people to understand, I'm not just here renting a table, but I want that to be the best experience for this bride, this graduate. That's where you make the difference up. And that's part of the culture thing that I think we all try to get in business.
I love that. I love that. And so the last point is finishing strong. I feel like you touched on that, but let's elaborate. Tell us a little bit about how we can finish strong.
When I say finish strong, it's one thing to get to the top of the mountain. It's one thing to be successful, to reach some, maybe in business, it's, hey, I want to be a $10 million company. So you do all these things to get there. But success is not a continuum. It's momentary. So the way to stay there is do the things that you did before. It's to build a strong team. Keep investing in that. I'll go back to my book. I was writing a story in my book, and it just so happens, I don't know if you ladies are basketball people, but I live in the tri-state area. And even if you're not, there has been nothing but the president coming to New York for the Knicks game. So he was in New York for the Knicks. And big deal, business and sports getting together, regardless of how you feel about our president. And I laughed to myself, as the more things change, the more they remain the same. Because as an 18-year-old working a part-time job at the Holiday Inn on the Jersey Shore near Monmouth College, the last time the Knicks won the NBA championship, they lived there for about 3 weeks and I met them all. And I'm sitting here going, they keep talking about 53 years I was a freshman in college and I meet all these people. And this is something so important in business. The Knicks had two giant superstars. They were such big. They were like, they were the Brad Pitt and George Clooney of basketball. They had these giant guys. One was Earl the Pearl Monroe and the other Walt Frazier. They both drove Rolls Royces. And in my book, I tell a story about suggesting to Walt Frazier when he's waiting for a mechanic that he could take his Rolls Royce over to the gas station on the corner that I dropped my jalopy at. And he was very nice and laughed and said, no, that's okay, I'll wait. But the point I made in the book was you had these two superstar guys that just came together. Both of them needed the ball. So how's that going to work? Everybody questioned, hey, they both have to have the ball in their hands. How do they work? It turned out they worked amazing. And that's the last time that the Knicks won, because they realized that together they were better than apart, because Frazier hated guarding him. And in my book, I mentioned the fact that, and this is key in business, I think, for what it's worth. And I'm sure it's key in life. I went to deliver room service to Earl Monroe's room, and they had all the Knicks in there. And he gave me a $100 bill. This is 1972. Didn't know the $100 bills existed. And I'm a freshman in college. And he goes, do you have change for it? No, Mr. Monroe, I don't have change or anything. He said, do me a favor. He said, get me change. Earlier when they came in, I had a book that was written by Walt Frazier, and I was getting all the Knicks to sign it. And I asked Mr. Monroe, would you mind signing my book? He said, I'll get to it, but right now I need to get to my room. And I didn't think anything of it. And then I'd see him occasionally. He said, well, get. So when he asked me to get him change, he said, oh, by the way, if you got your book up at the front desk, bring it back and I'll sign it. And I'll get the guys in the room to sign it. The reason I tell that story in the book is sometimes the best teammates are also the nicest people. And I met two of the biggest superstars in basketball, and they were the nicest people, whether they were signing the book and telling me about a couple of things, or they were nice enough to understand when I wanted to recommend a plug puller for a Rolls Royce. But anyway, be consistent, know how you got to the top, do the things necessary to keep at the top. And that's what I mean by finish strong.
Oh my gosh, this has been amazing. This has been absolutely amazing. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. How can our audience reach you?
I am the Bucket List Coach, as we've said. You can get me at my website and at thebucketlistcoach.com. I offer free 30-minute consultations. I focus mainly on small businesses anywhere from 1 to 10 million. I offer business coaching, fractional CFO work, that type of thing. And email me, drop me a line. If you just want to talk, I'm working with Shrem now and a little bit of Shrem. And then I'm also working with SCORE. I had a meeting Friday, as a matter of fact. And Jeannie, I know you had mentioned that. It's interesting there because we had a presenter who's a young entrepreneur that's just starting out. And she's got an amazing concept. But again, business owners, they don't know what they don't know. So don't perform brain surgery on yourself. Get a doctor.
I love that. And that is so true. And that's part of, I feel like that's part of your first point was start, even though you don't know what you don't know, because you won't know until you start working through it and moving forward. So this is so great, Joe. We so appreciate Joe, Mick, JM.
I made it more confusing.
We so appreciate you being here. And I'm assuming that people can also get your book on your website. Is there anywhere else?
Yes, Anna, you can get it on Amazon as well. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
That's great. Joe, again, we are so grateful you came. I know people listening are excited to reach out to you and find your book. Hopefully you'll see some good sales from that as well.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity and I enjoy what you do as well. And I enjoy your podcast.
Thank you, sir. Bye, everyone. Have a great afternoon or morning whenever you're listening to this.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.